Ah, the styling tunes of Scott K.
Winking away.
Yeah, he's going, nah, 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 nah. Thank you, Scott K.
Thanks, Beavis.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, enough of
interesting opening to the show. I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
And I am Karma.
This is Ghostly Talk. Of course, our website is www.ghostlytalk.com. We're live on Pioneer Radio every Sunday night from 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Pioneer's website, of course, is pioneer.rolo.net, R-O-L-O.net.
And the owner does not know who Venom is, and I'm very, very upset right now.
Amazing.
Don't feel bad, Phobos. I don't either. But it sounds pretty cheesy.
What?
Venom.
Venom rocks.
And,
man,
of course, they're talking about what's being... And of course, they're. Do you remember that show with Lily Tomlin called Big Business? I think it was Lily Tomlin and.
Let me think about that. No.
Well, the two sisters or whatever, and they I don't know, ended up having to stop somebody from buying a mill or something, because then they'd fire everybody. Anyway, one of the things that they do, they were in the, they're from this little town, and they would have to shake their wrists like this and go like that. Because there's rattlesnakes or something.
Ooh.
Yeah, pretty freaky stuff. Anyway, Lily Tomlin, Lily Tomlin movie, look it up. Anyway, what they're talking about, of course,
I know what I'm doing the night after the show.
What they're talking about, of course, is what's going on in the chat room. The chat room is open. You go to pioneer.rolo.net, and there's a text chat link, or you can go to ghostlytalk.com, and there's an IRC chat link, but you have to be a member on our site in order to get in through there. And then, of course, you can join on any IRC client.
Yeah.
You join the Undernet Network, and we're Pound Pioneer Radio. That's where we hang out.
Yes.
So they're talking about what's going on in there now. There's a lot of people in there, including OSR Gary.
Oh,
he's in that.
Hey, you know what? I've been meaning to email you folks down there. We want to come down and broadcast from there one night. If you guys are down with that.
Well, that would rock, but you need an internet connection, don't you?
We can figure something out.
All right.
We'll run a line from like your house down to Mansfield, Ohio.
Okay, all right.
We'll just trailer in a satellite.
No, we'll just spool it and just like, you know, just run it all the way down there. You know,
I have a really
the Amish
long...
folks aren't going to bother it. You know, they're not going to know the hell it is. So
that's a newfangled something.
Yeah, no, worst thing, they're going to roll over with a carriage and maybe snap it.
We can use this in the barn.
Yeah,
I can string my
nice clothes
up.
Nice clothes
hanger.
Yeah,
cut out about a mile piece of that.
Yeah. So Gary, I'll just pass it. I was going to actually formally email, but I'll just do it live, you know, like we do everything here. If you could, like, contact me about that, we were actually considering coming down there and doing a show, if you guys are down with that, that'd be really cool. So just let us know.
Big news. Big news, big news, big news. Big news. There's a relatively new show on Pioneer.
Ooh.
Called APSR.
APSR.
APSR, the Alabama Parascientific Research or something.
The show's got to be about sex. It's about sex. Straight sex.
Oh, really? Dr. Lowry's in the chat room? And yes, he is.
Dr. Lowry. That isn't a porn name. I don't know what the show is about sex. I know it is.
No, as a matter of fact.
So we retain our crown then this weekend.
No, as a matter of fact, are you ready for this, Scott L?
All right.
Are you ready for this, Karma?
Okay. Yeah.
APSR is the radio show that goes along with APSR, the group. Okay, the ghost hunting and paranormal scientific research group.
How we started out.
Yeah, and they started out really strong with a 2-hour format.
Ooh.
And I thought, ouch.
Yeah.
Now they're on a 4-hour block?
I thought, that's got to really hurt because you do a 2-hour format just right out of the gate. And I thought, that's something. And I told him on the phone, because I talked to him on the phone, I said, I don't know, this is a long time to sit there and fill if you don't got your groove on, right? Because it took us a while.
We had to take baby steps into it, more or less.
Yeah, and but they did it, and it was successful, and you didn't turn your phone off,
going,
did you?
Keep
yeah.
going. Don't worry about it.
They have since, and that was just a couple weeks ago.
Actually, hang on. This is going to be good.
Okay.
Hello, you're on Ghostly Talk.
Yep, it's done.
What's going on? It's done? Alex, you're on the radio.
I'm on the radio.
You're on the radio.
Right on.
All right, I'll be over after the show.
It's done.
It's done, cool. All right, I'll be over after the show, all right?
All right,
later, dude. Bye-bye. They don't understand. They'll never understand.
No, you know what? They don't care. They're like, I need to talk to him. I'm going to talk to him now.
You've been doing
That's how important of a guy I am.
You've been doing the show for more than 2 years now.
Yeah, and so have you.
And we still get phone calls.
And I always forget to turn my phone off.
They think if you're not going to get fired for it, oh, wow, I'm still going to call.
I'm going to call. So anyway, they did this. They started They started APSR with a strong two-hour format.
Yeah.
Fascinating stuff, and I listened to a couple of them, and that, and they do their archives, so they do have archives up on the web. The other thing is, though, they expanded. He expanded his show to 3 hours.
Oh, this guy is not, he's like just coming in guns a-blazing.
Yeah, it's 5 p.m. till 8 p.m. Eastern Time.
Wow.
Are you ready for this?
Nah.
Monday through Saturday.
Wow.
Really?
3 hours a day, live, every day. Monday through Saturday.
They're getting paid.
I know. How did they get that contract?
Paid. Somebody's getting paid.
They're getting
paid. I got to call Pioneer.
This one once a week stuff's just quick. It's killing me already. I mean,
I can't afford my bills on $0
no,
a week.
It's just not that. It's just the time. That's a lot of time.
That's a lot of time. However, it's attracting a lot of attention.
Good.
Because not only is it a very decent show, and it's going to be obviously a cornerstone of Pioneer's programming, but also. They had Bill Nell on yesterday.
Oh.
Ah.
Bill Nell.
That's the guy that keeps forgetting to email me back.
No, yeah, he emailed you, but we found it in the spam trap folder.
Editing.
Remember?
Editing, yeah. No. Edit that little
So we out. Yeah, we pulled that out of the spam trap folder and put it in your regular folder.
Bill's probably listening right now like, okay, I'm not going to email now.
I wonder what he said in the email.
When I hear his name, I automatically think of a nickname for him, like Nelly. What's up, Nelly? Not the hip-hop group, either.
See, you're thinking modern. But he's a journalist, so I don't know if he runs with the hip-hop crowd. You know?
It's not referring to that. It's just something that, when I think of his name, I think of that, like Mr. Nelly.
Mr. Nelly.
I don't know.
I'm sure he probably sits at his desk typing away with his Raiders cap on sideways, with his Puma sweatsuit on.
I'm going to go and manicure those.
Oh,
but anyway, so that's the big news.
Yeah.
APSR.
Very cool.
They've got a website. I don't remember exactly. I'll probably slaughter it, but I think it's like aprdoctorcomputerllc.com. So drcomputerllc.com. LLC is Limited Liability Company of something like that. So drcomputerllc.com. Anyway, if you go to there, of course you can always go to pioneer.rolo.net and there'll
just
be links
link off of it,
in the schedule. Yeah. So, and then I put an article up on Ghostly Talk, so it's linked off of ghostlytalk.com
as
well.
Cool.
Take a listen. Bill Nell, of course, absolutely fascinating. And he talked with Dr. Lowry last night.
Mm-hmm.
Just awesome stuff. I downloaded it, 33 megabyte download. They encode their archives at 24 kilobits per second.
24 kilobits?
24K, yeah, per second.
Ooh.
On theirs. Ours
we encoded 24 kilobits per second.
I bet they have a receptionist, too.
Yeah,
who's your secretary?
I bet they do.
Oh, rock stardom here. This is great. I like it. That's very cool.
We are hating.
We're totally hating right now.
Jealous.
Well, the Internet Paranormal Talk Show Tug of War next weekend for you guys, live on a webcam from somewhere. Team GT and Team
APSR,
and whoever went, to the death, whoever dies first, loses.
They assume the other's contract.
Yeah, there you go. Over their time slot. Oh my god.
I don't know. I couldn't do 6 days a week.
That'd be tough.
I love Ghostly Talk.
I might be able to pull it off, but unfortunately.
Well, he's a busy guy. He's Dr. Lowry. He's out doing paranormal scientific research. He does that. Plus, he's out and about doing.
Yeah.
He's like Army or something, or Navy, or he's military kind of fellow.
Yeah, let's start some rumors.
So he's
probably
got,
a Marine.
I don't know.
He's a SEAL.
He might be a Navy SEAL. I don't know. Hey.
No.
Oh, I'm going to get killed. They're going to be like lining the tanks up in front of the house.
That's so bad because I saw the Navy SEAL
thing. You don't want to mess with a SEAL.
You know, late night, they show like those recruiting videos on cable and satellite.
See all you can be.
And I saw them with the Navy SEALs and they work hard. I mean, I saw that thing and I thought, okay, well, I'm in no shape to go and join the Navy SEALs. But if I were, I still wouldn't because they work dang hard. Okay. And I'm like, That's
about as much experiences I have with the Navy SEALs is through movies also.
Is watching the movies?
They're like, probably one of their trainings is like where you have to pick up your partner and carry them for like 2 years.
Oh,
yeah! If you can do that, you make it as a SEAL.
That sounds more like a college prank or something. Like initiation right into the Theta Pis or whatever.
The Beta Pis.
Beta Pis.
You need to carry this guy around from class to class all day today.
Holy crap!
And you have to like it too.
That's Doug. He's 300 pounds. I ain't gonna do that.
Can
you imagine carrying Will from class to class?
That would
endurance
suck.
Challenge.
Endurance, all right. So anyway, what
suicide.
What do we have in store for us today? That's my question.
At 7:30 Eastern Standard Time, which is our time, which may not be your time. I don't really care. We have Mr. Preston Dennett coming on tonight.
Awesome, awesome.
We're going to talk about some pretty hairy stuff, actually. We're going to save that, though.
Okay.
This is going to be an interesting interview. I know it is. Mr. Dennett, he's an author. He did write a book called California Ghost. He's from California.
Mm-hmm.
And we have some pretty interesting questions for him concerning his work. It's
going
to be a pretty interesting show. But that's going to be at 7:30 tonight. Now, there are a few things that are cooking also. We are still... Vance is listening. Because I've been meaning to call him all week. Vance West from Trinity Science.
Right.
We are still working on this project. It's just been absolutely ridiculous, per usual around here.
Yeah,
unfortunately,
Scott's got a girlfriend now, so. You know how that goes.
Unfortunately, my schedule is getting worse before it gets better.
I don't have a girlfriend.
I want a girlfriend.
I'm lonely.
I'm joking. No, you're very, 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 very busy.
Oh, this is from Thursday night, isn't it? You're still floating on that.
No, I don't even want to go to Thursday.
That was interesting. Oh.
Doug got to know me a little better.
Oh, that's right. We could tell folks about that.
Not
about that.
I was going to ask.
Not about that.
I was going to say, what did you guys do on Thursday?
But didn't we like go out ghost hunting and stuff? What did we do?
We did?
No, we didn't. I finally got the pleasure of meeting Rob and Bob.
Oh, that's right. That's right. We didn't go somewhere, but we did go out.
At the Haunted Denny's.
Yeah, we did go to the Haunted Denny's.
Yeah.
We had a... I wish I could say it was a 6-month anniversary or something, but it was probably a some month anniversary of the Reynolds incident.
We had the craziest waitress I've ever seen in my entire life.
I was
going to
say, I think she was fired by them just to see how we would react.
She was absolutely nuts. Nice girl.
She was
a little cutie pie. I think that's what she was just too nice to like
she
for
needed,
my taste.
She needed to basically
get out of the restaurant business. Yeah, that's a good idea.
I don't know. I think she's bubbly enough to work at TGI Friday.
She needs to practice being funny, because she was trying to be funny. That's
she was funny. She was so unfunny that she was hilarious.
Yeah.
She was funny, and
she started doing the chicken thing, man, I just fell out of the seat. I couldn't take it anymore.
Mental issues.
No, she's a cute girl. You know what? She's a nice little girl. She's working her way. She's trying to get herself into college, and I actually got to talk with her for a few minutes, so that was cool. You know, I mean, she really has genuine.
I would rather deal with 100 of her than 3, 4, 5, or even 6 angry, pissed off people all day.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah. Oh,
wouldn't
yeah.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah,
she was happy, fun, friendly.
I
don't know. 100 happy, fun people would put me really in a bad mood.
Would send
me
right
to
the war.
Maybe like 20 of them.
Yeah, I could deal with a dozen or two.
A dozen.
Yeah.
A dozen. Ooh, you're still pushing it.
Couple dozen happy people. But
that girl right there, she about bubbled me over in about 5 minutes.
You know, I felt good because I found someone that's a lot flakier than I am.
That's why you got quiet. You're like, somebody's trying to usurp my power base over here.
So we did. On Thursday night, we went out to
Jackson. Drove an hour and a half to eat at Denny's.
Hour and a half to eat at Denny's.
Yeah.
But it was a reunion.
It's always cool to see those guys.
Yeah, the Reynolds
incident.
I felt
like I was meeting a long-lost brothers or something.
Partner.
Yeah.
Brothers.
Yeah, they're because they do W Paranormal.
Yeah.
Which, of course, follows Ghostly Talk on Pioneer.
We discussed a project.
Yeah, so
yeah,
pretty cool stuff.
We're working on stuff, but anyway, it was good to see those guys again.
Project
so, hi,
Seek
guys.
And Destroy.
Yeah. Project How to Top APSR. It's going to be really difficult. Because
crap! Now you have cast the first stone. Thanks.
Combined Ghostly Talk, which has been out of the air for 2 years, right?
Yeah.
Ghostly Talk, and then W Paranormal, which has been out on the air.
I think they've got more hours
in
a week on us.
Yeah, we
do our whole careers
4 hours a week combined, and they do like 18 hours a week.
Yeah.
I don't know how they do it.
I thought it was a talk about the new Paranormal Mafia we're starting.
Well, yeah,
that you guys are starting.
We did talk about Intifera,
yeah.
Yeah,
we're starting up a new crew, man.
A new crew.
I thought I saw the phone blinking.
Well, I hope not, because we didn't even give out the number.
I don't want to talk. Oh,
I want to talk. All
right, here we go. Here we go.
See if it works.
Let's try this. Hello, how can I help you?
Hey, I just saw the Amish Pony Express rallying the wagons for you guys.
Ah!
Are they aiming toward the cord that we're going to run?
Yeah, you're going to find them at the border.
Gary, it's good to hear from you, man.
Hey, what's up?
How you doing?
Recovering from last night's ghost talk.
Ah!
And how'd it go? Did anybody run out of there screaming like when we went? I swear, it happened.
It did.
It happened. And
Gary knows.
He was there.
We were there for like 5 minutes. They opened the doors up, and like 5 minutes later, this girl comes running out screaming. And Doug and myself were like, what the hell are we getting ourselves into?
It was really something.
No, we met Gary that night, too, though.
Yep, yep.
And that was very
That was
cool.
the night we met Gary.
How'd it go, Gary?
It was pretty active. We had some people that ran out of solitary claiming to see a apparition. They were a little excited.
Really?
Holy, we spent how much time in solitary? And it wasn't forced either. We went there voluntarily. And,
yeah, we hung out in there.
Like,
we
you guys do the solitary.
Well, I have to say that one EVP that we
the
did
EVP
was right outside of solitary.
That was
right outside that central area right there where the tube is from Shawshank Redemption. Where, you know,
is that where you guys are talking about, the location?
Yeah.
The venue?
The venue.
The venue.
For those of you who don't know, we're talking right now about Mansfield Reformatory in Mansfield, Ohio.
And Gary, who's on the phone.
Yes, Gary. With Gary, he's sometimes a guide, sometimes a guest.
Well, he's one of the Mansfield ninjas.
Yeah, he's the ninja of Mansfield. And of course, their website is MRPS. That's MRPS is in Mansfield Reformatory Preservation Society .org.
Very nice.
So MRPS.org, and they're linked up on our website.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to our website, there's a news article that Gary posted.
Yeah.
About the sold out dates. I have a feeling
little bus.
Yeah, we're probably gonna the destinations one. Yeah,
yeah.
We're probably gonna have to update that. I imagine more stuff has sold out since then.
I want to go.
More sold out and one's half sold out. So if you guys want to get your reservations in fast,
we have to.
We're gonna have to do that real quick. So I'd like to go down. We usually it's turned into like a summer tradition thing to go down to Mansfield and cruise around there all night, you know, one night. Did we do it last summer? We didn't do it last summer.
I tried.
Last summer was insane, though.
Yeah, but I had submitted my money. Jan sent it back.
Yeah,
it was,
I remember that.
Yeah, it was just like
going.
Totally full.
Yeah.
You couldn't get in edgewise.
So we're going to have to fight our way in there this year.
Right.
We're going to have to come up in there
with
a tank.
Can we crash OSR? Like, can we just, like,
Gary walks up to the door. I'm like, okay, I'll tell you what, I'm going to turn around.
Well, you guys know people.
If he's security, I don't know.
Right.
I'd run. But, no, what would Jan do if we just crashed and said, hey, you know, we're here?
She couldn't turn you away.
I'm a OSR ninja. Jan's like a CIA assassin.
Yeah.
I think that's a no.
No wonder there's ghosts there.
We'd be like, let us in. She's like,
no. I don't want you to in my building. No, we're gonna have to work on that because I really would like to go down there this summer. It's always a great time. Will, you've been there before, haven't you?
No.
Will hasn't been there, neither has Karma. It'd be nice to get like the whole crew down there and like do our usual PR stunt.
Where we hand out
stacks
CDs.
Of CDs.
Yep,
to all
we
these
hand
people.
Out CDs.
Which the last time we were down there, actually, Gary, I mean, that's when we actually got to hang out with you, and we talk about it all the time on the show here, how you took us up to the guard tower up there and just showed us like everything, how it all works and what, you know, the ideas behind the architecture of this structure. Hmm?
Is that the VIP section?
Yeah.
That's also where the lady had come down from and ran out of the building screaming.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah, she was up at the guard tower.
We had a ball up there. We loved it.
Yeah.
It was a ball. Gary sat there and told us all about it. It was really cool to like learn all this neat stuff about the place. So we felt very privileged that year.
Oh, nice tonic action.
I like that, don't you?
So there's activity.
Oh.
This wasn't the first one because they started in March, right?
This is the first one for this year. We started late because of cold weather.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yes, we're there. The one of those we did in March, and you know, froze your toes off.
We were there.
That was
2 years ago in March.
We overdressed for that thing.
Oh yeah, we dressed like, you remember the little kid from A Christmas Story?
Yeah,
that's what we looked like.
Did you have a little sweater on?
And
we were all like, I forgot if I can actually remember what my wardrobe was. I was like the ghost hunting assassin that night because I had like these like really sweet, like striped, like sweatpants that just rip right off, you know. The ones that button down. I had like a pair of sweatpants under that, and under the sweatpants, I had a pair of sleeper pants.
So they're like the warm up pants, or like. Bow.
Yeah, yeah, and then like I had like two sweatshirts on and a coat, and then like four pairs of gloves and like 45 hats.
Did anybody say, Scott, you look like you put on some weight?
Yeah.
I think everybody was dressed very similarly,
yeah,
though, because
well, after a while we
like,
started to go, man, I'm dying. I gotta take some of this stuff
once
off.
Once you're walking around and doing, you know, and wandering through the place, it actually, you get really warm when you're bundled up that tightly, so.
Gary.
Yeah.
Has Dr. Ken been hanging out there lately?
Yeah, actually.
Tell him we said hello. Tell him Ghostly Talk guys say hello, and tell him to email us, because we haven't talked to him in forever. We stayed for the seminar before we actually went into the prison last time we were there. It was like 2 years ago almost now. And we had a ball. We learned so much that day. I'd really like to sit down and talk with him again and get made fun of because of my digital camera. He literally went and got a 35-millimeter camera for me that night. He's like, do not use that. I want you to use this camera. And I'm like, okay. Whatever you say, sir. Yeah, tell him we said hello, because we haven't talked to him in forever, and it'd be really nice to, like, hear from him or something like that.
A little family reunion down at the prison, you know.
See, the last time...
I like my actual family reunions, yeah.
Yeah. Well, the first time we went down there, we just... It was real hardcore. I remember the first time we went down there, which was, like, 2002? Yeah.
That was a couple years
March
ago.
March of 2002 or something like that.
Yeah,
March of 2002.
March of 2002.
We went down there, and it was real, like, we pretty much worked the whole night. We had your laptop, and we sat there, did a run. Don't throw it in the laptop.
Go back and, yeah,
we were doing that all night long, pretty much. That was great in its own right. But the second time we got to actually talk to people and, like, you know, meet some people around there and find out how absolutely goofy some of the stuff. I mean, not knocking the staff at all, but they're a lot of fun. I mean, I never laughed so hard.
Yeah, we call them fair people.
Fair people, yeah.
The real people you see at the fairgrounds every year, you know.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, I didn't know that, I really didn't know that the Amish grew marijuana. I mean, I didn't know that. And I thought, that's what I learned.
Cash crop, you know.
Cash crop.
Hey,
there
cash crop. But the, what's interesting is the, everybody we talk to has a story.
Mm-hmm.
They've been around there, you know, because they're the guides and the people who keep everybody safe and everything.
Yeah.
And they're there all the time.
They're there all the time, and they all have stories, and they're all unique stories about the place.
Yeah.
And then about other places that they work and do that for, and it's just amazing.
Don't you wish you could get a job there? Like, or like a place like that?
It would be cool, but that's a long drive. It's a long commute.
So, like, if they had a place like in Michigan like that.
Oh, nothing cool ever happens in Michigan.
You do. It's called Oakland Mall.
Yeah.
No. Macomb.
Yeah. The people there that do staff the place and, you know, kind of monitor things, they're very good at what they do. They know the place from head to toe, pretty much. And the reason these people are there, if any of you out there in radio land are planning on going, is because there are some areas in this place that you just can't go in. You should not go in for your own safety. It's real important because, I mean, we look down some of the, I mean, for example, it's so tempting, but I'm scared of heights. And, Gary, you can verify this. In between the cells, for example, on the blocks, in between, there's a door, you know, and some of the doors are open up, and you can look right down there.
It's for the maintenance.
It's all the plumbing.
Yeah,
it's for all the plumbing that goes down. But all it is a great floor. So if you literally, like, you can literally see straight down to the floor of the prison.
And if that gives,
yeah.
You're going.
Ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching.
Goodbye. Yeah, you're not going to last very long.
Because Mansfield Reformatory has the largest freestanding cell block.
Yeah, it's huge.
And yeah, you look down, and it's like,
The building is
huge.
Mammoth. The building is mammoth. It's gigantic. And, I mean, it takes some time for you to really learn where you're going. You have to kind of learn the building a little bit. But once you do, it's pretty cool. You can just cruise around there. But I wouldn't suggest doing it by yourself, though.
No.
But I wander there by myself all the time.
Well, you're the ninja. That's
yeah.
Why. You're a Mansfield ninja. Some ninjas can fly around that place. I mean, I'd expect nothing less from you.
But those of us who've only been there twice.
What was the coolest thing that you got to experience out there at the reformatory?
Oh, yeah. I've had doors open, doors slam. I've been shoved on a cell block. I've got video of like up in the chapel, an orb doing laps around the poles.
Really? You said you were shoved down a cell block?
I was just shoved from towards the railing on the west block. You know that low railing?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, I got a good shove there.
Oh.
Hopefully, it was a female entity.
No,
that was a male.
It was a male prison.
Male prison.
Well,
so it was someone really protecting his territory, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, who's this live guy?
At the Travel Channel out, we've made one of the top 10 most haunted places.
Yeah.
That's going to air sometime soon.
Oh, I can't wait.
The place is amazing. It really is. It's a mammoth building. And I told people the first time, I remember the first time we went there, we took a break, like a 5-minute break one time, went into like one of the just the meeting rooms, and there was a bunch of people in there, and they all had their cameras looking through all their pictures going, I didn't get anything. I didn't get anything on here at all. I'm like, look around you for a second now. If you don't get anything on film, I know, that's a bummer. But just to walk around this huge prison, which is, I mean, it's solid as a rock. You can't, this is handmade. I mean, it's just an amazing structure. Just to walk around and experience that itself, I thought that was amazing myself.
We finished with the restoration of the first floor of the warden's quarters, and that rocks.
Really?
Oh, my gosh. That sounds awesome.
See, I remember, we can remember when that was being worked
on. Yeah,
that
was being worked on, yeah.
Remember that little room where we warmed up, that march?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's now the gift shop, and the whole first floor is done.
All right.
Awesome.
So we got to get there and check that out. We need to see that.
Inherited the replica of the electric chair.
No way.
You have a replica in there now?
Right. It's identical to the electric chair, but it's the original in a vault somewhere and probably never to see the light of day again.
Oh, wow.
Did they execute there ever, really?
No, but we got it.
Okay. Oh, they had one, though, but they never actually executed anybody, right?
I don't think we ever actually had it. That was up the road at Lucasville.
Oh, that was at Lucasville. Okay.
But when they retired the electric chair, we got the other one.
Okay.
Reused.
Okay.
Oh, how ominous. I mean, I don't
know. No, okay.
That's scary.
We got a nice little museum exhibit about capital punishment stuff, you know.
Very cool. We got to cut off, though. We have to go to break, Gary.
And then we're going to get Preston Dennett on the phone.
We have to get our guest on the air. But thanks for calling in, Gary. It's good to hear from you again.
Hey, no problem.
We'll talk to you soon, all right?
Talk to you soon.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, we're going to take a quick break here because we got to get Preston on the phone. We got a lot to do here. Yeah, so everybody just kick back, chill out, all right? We're going to like a bathroom break thing.
Yep.
Go break.
That's the stuff we have to get done.
We'll get all that stuff done. We'll be back in just a few with Preston Dennett.
Ghostly talk, sticking our nose in the world's business.
What happened to your journalistic responsibility?
What do you mean journalistic responsibility? I talk about aliens for crying out loud.
Yeah? And what do you think aliens are?
Why talking about this kind of stuff?
Aliens'
responsibility is usually holding the truth back. I'm trying to bring it back out to people and let them see these things.
There you go.
I think we got one vote on your side, Clyde.
What are you talking about?
Well, you do. A lot of people are on my side, I think.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Just when you thought it was safe to get drunk, then say hi to your friends.
Drunken Dialing. Drunken Dialing.
Just when you thought it was safe. That late night booty call.
Drunken Dialing.
Drunken Dialing.
So
touchy.
Oh.
Oh.
In the house.
Oh.
There's a kangaroo kickboxing in my
pussy.
Oh. www.drunkendialing.com.
Good night. Say good night. Say goodnight,
Tommy.
Going back to Cali.
That was like the whitest version of that song I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, that was so white.
I'm going back to Cali.
Going back to Cali.
Hey, everybody. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
And I am Karma.
And coming up, we've got Preston Dennett,
yep.
Author, ghost.
California Ghosts.
Expert, yep. California Ghosts.
Yep.
And, but first I want to say our website, wctalk.com, we're broadcast live from 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Sunday nights on Pioneer Radio, pioneer.rolo.net.
Uh-huh.
There we go.
There we go.
I'm done with my business.
You need to get that out.
Yeah, I had to get it out, but, you know, just business. But now we get the fun stuff, the good stuff. Scott, tell us about Preston.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about his book.
Okay.
Sounds cool. And then we're going to bring Preston right on.
All right.
I'm just going to read his first blurb because I like this a lot. This is very cool, and I hope I don't slaughter it either.
Well, at least you can read.
Yeah.
The big dog, the little dog.
That's the wrong one. You want the show notes.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, right.
Not
right,
the
right.
trading book. Okay, yeah. Right. Okay.
All right. Do you believe in ghosts? Have you ever seen one? This brand new spine-tingling volume presents 26 true first-hand cases of ghosts, hauntings, and spirits across the state of California. Each case is told in the witness's own words and is illustrated by award-winning artist Christine Casera Dennett. Preston.
Yes.
I did not read the very end of that blurb. Christine Dennett, is that a relative of yours?
Yeah, that's my sister-in-law.
Okay, all right.
Excellent.
I didn't even realize that. I'm like, oh, wow. Well, welcome to the show, Preston.
Thank you.
Oh, that was the whole blurb?
That's good. That's good. Well, that's what the book's all about.
Yeah, that's
pretty
true.
Pretty much puts it all in the perspective.
California Ghosts is a book of ghost stories.
26.
In 26 ghost stories in the words of the actual experiencer.
Right, right. I try to let the witnesses speak for themselves because, you know, no one really wants to hear what I have to say. You want to hear about the actual story. You know?
Well, a popular question we always have on this show, whenever someone comes on, I mean, it's obvious, I mean, I'm sure you get asked all the time, and people ask us the same thing. How did you get into studying something like the paranormal and ghosts specifically?
Right. Well, actually, I grew up very, very skeptical.
Mm-hmm.
Ghosts and UFOs and all those things, life after death.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1986, I heard a report on the news about a UFO sighting over Alaska. And it started me, you know, I started getting interested in UFOs and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Found out that my brother saw a UFO. My sister-in-law, my other sister-in-law, she saw a UFO and then had an encounter with gray-type aliens.
The gray types, you said?
Typical gray types.
Okay,
I had two coworkers where I work. I work as an accountant. And in my office, these two ladies both had missing time encounters. So it got me really interested in UFOs. At the same time, I was getting interested in ghosts, too, because in 1984, my mom died, and like 2 weeks after, we were having her service, right?
Mm-hmm.
And as my father was driving up for the service, I saw her in the car. And I saw her ghost, I guess you would say.
Yeah.
I believe in ghosts, and so I just assumed I was hallucinating, and didn't tell anyone what I was seeing. But there she was. She drove right up. She was, like, right next to me.
You said she drove up?
She was in the car.
Oh, she's in the car. Okay.
Sorry.
Wow.
Wow, she's driving a car.
Mom's riding shotgun.
My father was driving, and she was in the passenger seat, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she got up right close to me. She just faded away. She was gone. And that was it.
How did you feel about that? Did that, like, give you some closure on it?
You know, I didn't really think much about it at the time, other than, you know, I must really be lift my lid or something.
Well, it's a stressful time, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, you're always willing to lend, you know, well, look, I'm going through a lot of stuff right now. Maybe I am seeing things.
You know, I started having dreams about her. And,
mm-hmm.
And like, a lot of stuff started happening with her ghost to me. All sorts of different stuff through the years now. So that really got me into it.
So do you still, to this day, have experiences with her?
I do. Like, recently, I went to see a medium just to see if he could make contact with her, and he did, and brought some evidential information. And, like, right a couple of days before I went, or after I went, I forget, my light flickered in a really weird way. It kind of just turned off and then on, right?
Okay.
In a way that I thought was just really unusual. So I stood up and I said, is there anyone there?
Mm.
Out loud. And at that second, my answering machine let off a really long, loud beep, which it can't do. I can't make it do that.
Yeah.
So I don't know how that can happen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Sounds like a confirmation.
Possibly. Well, you mentioned a second ago that she was riding a shotgun, basically.
That actually parallels one of the very famous ghost photos.
Yeah.
is of the people. It, I mean, these cars
it's
are from what the
40s
or 50s,
yeah.
And
I know what you're talking about.
And they were going either to or from a funeral.
It was the gentleman who bought the car. He just bought the car, and that was actually I believe they were coming from the funeral. And that's when they shot the picture. Actually, I'm going to slaughter it.
But
it was a new car,
right? And then in the back seat, though,
there's a picture.
Is the person right whose funeral it was?
Mm-hmm.
Grandma, I remember that.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
an extremely famous ghost photo. So it evidently happens.
Well, I wouldn't.
You know,
if I was the one that had passed on, I wouldn't be wanting to ride in a hearse. I would find right. I would find one of my relatives that, you know, had extra room in the car.
And ride with
so
them.
So if I ever pass on anytime soon, look for me.
Well, Preston,
Karma,
the question I did have, though, you said that she was riding shotgun in your father's car. Am I correct?
Right.
Okay. Did she always ride shotgun in your father's car?
Yeah.
Is that kind
so
of like her
familiar,
seat?
Familiar. No. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
I have a question. Was anybody sitting in the seat where she was seen at?
Yeah.
So she was, like, basically sitting on their lap, kind of, or like it was.
Kind of.
She was transparent through. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, it seemed. I mean, that's just the one thing. I mean, as far as like experience goes, that's a real important thing right there to think about. Is yeah, there's like somebody just said a second ago, familiar, very familiar place.
A familiar place.
Psychic impression, psychic residue left on the seat, possibly something like that, where she might recognize.
And be comfortable.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
The person that was in the car with your father, who was that?
That was a friend of the family. He was a black man. So
did you get to talk to him at any time to see if he like felt anything or?
No, I didn't tell anybody.
You didn't tell anybody?
Yeah.
Not for a couple of years at least. And by then, no. No.
Yeah. Because he was kind of skeptical at that point.
Right.
Going
I
through
would
a bad
be too.
Yeah, I'd be like, I ain't saying nothing. Yeah. Well, so you got to talk to, first of all, I have to say, it had to have been, like, quite an interesting change to go from being fairly skeptical to suddenly finding out that all these people had these experiences.
Let me tell you, it changed my life. It really, you know, I was going to college at the time, and none of this was taught in school. There was no mention of UFOs, no mention of ghosts. It really shook my foundation of beliefs.
Because then suddenly you found out, oh, my own family has seen these things.
Right.
It's in the paper. It's,
all
you know.
All around me.
Yeah, and nobody ever talked about it.
I mean, these are people I knew weren't lying. I knew they weren't lying to me.
Right, they'd have no reason to.
Right.
And independently, each, like, even if one person was stretching the truth and that they were, like, really, really drunk or something, and they thought they saw something, you could say, okay, well, one, but here I've got a dozen people.
Yeah.
Right.
All telling me very similar things.
Statistically,
it really
weighs.
It lends a lot of credence to the individual stories that these independent observations are suddenly talked about.
Yeah,
right.
It's amazing.
I'd say half the people, almost maybe a third to half the people I know, have had some unusual experience.
And that's the interesting thing too, because I mean, we talk about that a lot here on the show. How we're, you know, we all kind of get out and, you know, move around and hang out with people and do all these wild things outside of, you know, staying in the paranormal. And for example, you're sitting at a party and you're just hanging out, and somebody mentions something. Well, nowadays, because everybody knows, you know, all of our friends know what we do now. They're like, yeah. This guy hunts ghosts, you know. And they're like, oh man. And then it never fails. About three or four people will come up to me, for example, and be like, you know what, I had this happen to me, you know, a couple of years ago, or this happened to me, you know, when I was 10, or the house I live in, I think there's something going on, but you guys want to check it out sometime? I mean, you'd be surprised how many people, when they find someone who's going to listen to them, will want to tell you about this experience they had.
They don't think that they're a head case.
Well, yeah, they don't think they'll be ridiculed
right.
or something
right.
like that.
Right. That's why I get most of the accounts that I've researched is just from people like at my work or friends of friends.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you say, get to know you as that kind of guy.
Mm-hmm. So these 26 folks, did you had known these 26 folks, or did you find? How did you find these stories for your book, California Ghosts?
Well, that actually took quite a few years of research. I've really been doing it for a while now, so. I've asked a lot of people and really, you know.
You and think the most compelling ones, I guess, and go, okay, yeah, this we'll just work with this. They, I know that, I mean, God, I mean, 26 is a lot. I'm sure, I mean, really. There's, like I said, I mean, once you bump into people, and somebody finds out, hey, this might be somebody who wants to listen to what I have to say, finally, they're going to open up to you. And it's a very cool thing to listen. I mean, and a lot, I mean, I think it's fun because I get to listen to these stories, and I try to see if I can pick out the similarities and what's going on with every situation to see how they all relate. Which actually leads me to something that, you know, you dabble in both ends of this. You know, we've taken the show kind of the whole spectrum of the paranormal, but I know you dabble. You, like you said a minute ago, you know, you have had experience with UFOs also. And we've discussed this briefly on the show. We never really got too deep into it, but I really would like to get to the meat of this possibly tonight. And that's, is there some type of maybe some relationship between, let's just say the word ghosts, and UFOs possibly, extraterrestrial beings possibly, or the ships themselves? Who knows? I mean, what would be your idea on that, Preston?
Well, you know, I can only theorize, but I'm sure that there is a relationship because first I started talking to people about UFOs, right? And I found out all these people I knew had seen UFOs or
mm-hmm.
even, right? And lo and behold, these same people all were seeing ghosts, too. So that I knew there was a connection there.
Uh-huh.
I assumed at first it was just the people, right?
Uh-huh.
Or, you know, very intuitive, or I don't know, maybe they're off fantasy prone. Something like that.
Well, yeah, maybe it is the person. Maybe it's the person and not the environment around them.
Yeah.
Maybe the person is open-minded enough that they are able to see these things.
Like, there's this one case, and this is actually one of the ghost cases in the book, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where this family has a really active ghost in their house. As soon as they moved in, they started smelling cigar smoke. The toilets would flush by themselves. Heard footsteps. Objects were disappearing. I'm like, once they dropped the keys, the keys hit the floor, the middle of the floor, and disappeared. And at that moment, the back door opened and closed, and then opened and closed twice.
Okay.
This was a pretty active ghost, right?
Yeah, that's
yeah, that's a lot of phenomena.
Door swing open and shut on me.
That's a lot of phenomena.
And it started to get much worse. At one point, like they tried to get into the bedroom, and the dresser had been moved across the door, so you couldn't even get into the bedroom.
Oh.
No one was even in there.
Yeah, you can't do that unless you're in the bedroom, yeah.
What part of California was this in?
Is that northern, southern?
This is in Reseda, actually, just a few miles from where I live right now.
Mm-hmm.
San Fernando Valley.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so this went on, and the daughter was, she was reporting seeing this dark apparition, a really tall, like 6-7 feet tall, and it would make her bed creak, and the dogs were going crazy. It was just really reaching up to a frenzy. And at the same time all this was going on, the other daughter was experiencing bedroom visitations by gray-type aliens, right? They would come to her bedroom and they said, don't be afraid, we won't hurt you. They took her away, actually. She next remembered being in this round room, and she just gave a typical description of an abduction experience where she was examined. They said, we're going to cut your arm. And she said, no, no, don't. And they did it anyway.
Mm.
An operation on your brain, and that's when she really flipped out and doesn't really remember much.
Really? And, I mean, did you follow that up and find out, you know, I don't know how long ago that was.
That was in 1986.
That was in 86, and have you followed up and maybe found out how she's doing nowadays?
Yeah, she's doing fine. She's had some other experiences.
Mm-hmm.
But I followed up, you know, I saw the scar on her arm that a couple of weeks after that happened and all this. But so I don't know, there's a connection there. There's another case where these girls had poltergeists, right? And as soon as their poltergeist haunting had ended, they moved out like in a frenzy, like just like the movie Poltergeist, right?
Mm-hmm.
The place in a real rush.
Yeah.
You know what, it sounds like maybe aliens have the capability of traveling in between two realms. Doesn't it seem that way? Because I've heard stories about how, like, you don't, like it's like they communicate through, like brain thought, like that, kind of like what a spirit would do.
Telepathy kind of thing.
And then they cannot actually make themselves present, like, to where you can see them as an alien.
I agree. I think they can take their craft, and I think they can roam around the astral plane, you know what I mean?
Right.
Well, that may be their way, I mean...
I wonder if they would get along with ghosts.
Well, I hate to use this as an analogy, but it really kind of touches home. I don't know if anybody has ever seen the film Predator. with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, well the Predator though, he actually had a device that he could camouflage himself with.
Oh, okay.
Where you could see him moving around, but he was transparent.
Yeah.
Right.
I wonder if possibly they have this, like you were saying, this technology where they can move around, and you know they're very hard to see, but maybe every once in a while you catch a glimpse of them. Like maybe they are transparent, or there's some type of haze or something like that, and they can move around from each, you know, from each point in the astral plane or on, you know, outside of our reality, for example, possibly too.
I really wonder if they're the ones who are actually just doing it to sort of torture people in a way. You know what I mean?
Well, they've been torturing us for like the last 1,000 years.
Look what they're doing to the animals. That's
well, let's talk about the girls with the poltergeists who moved out. Who moved out in a frenzy, because we actually investigated a house we call Savage House, where the family vacated possibly in the middle of the night because everything was left as it was. Food in the fridge, a towel hung over the shower curtain, you know, things like that.
Empty whiskey bottles, too.
Well, I think that happened later, though,
yeah.
I hope. But, you know, I mean, so they vacate the premises, and what happened?
Well, actually, it's a pretty long story. They had moved into this apartment, is how it began, and they started having unexplained knocking noises. And they thought it was the man downstairs. And the man downstairs thought it was them. So he moved out, and the knocking noises continued. And then they started seeing apparitions, and having cold spots, and objects moving, and noises. And then these apparitions would come and swoop down and try to move inside them, right?
Ah!
To possess them, and at one point, it possessed one of the girls. It moved inside of her, and she said she couldn't breathe for like a minute. She was screaming, she couldn't move, and her friend was just standing back in horror. She didn't know what to do, right?
Yeah.
This just went on for a few moments, and this ghost moved out of her, and she said, described it as being an old lady with greasy hair, malevolent expression on her face.
Mm-hmm.
And it moved out of her, and she said the pain was terrible. It moved out of her chest, and they said, that's it, we're leaving, right?
Yeah.
So they left, and they went to Cafe 50s, a cafe nearby, and as they were eating there, the table started shaking. So they jumped up, and they're going out and paying their bill, and the gumball machine starts banging back and forth on the wall, and everyone's looking at it, and they're screaming. So they moved into another apartment right away. And a couple of days after all of this, they were in their apartment, and nothing had happened, just maybe a little few things, right? But nothing major.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly, this really, really loud noise started to sound come from outside. And they ran outside, and there was this enormous UFO hovering just a couple of hundred feet above them. And they described it having a big old shape of a U with a bunch of lights on it, and it was obviously looking at them, because as soon as they saw it, it started darting around, back and forth, and up and down, and then zoomed away.
It was in the shape of like a horseshoe, like a U?
Right. And both of them thought for sure this is something to do with the poltergeist that they're trying to get rid of, right?
Oh, yeah.
They obviously did. It was like 2 days later.
Uh-huh.
So, I don't know if these aliens are paranormal, you know, terrorists, kind of.
Well, that sounds like.
Have you run into any of the opposing stories, the opposing point of view, where it's either friendly or not malevolent, at least, you know, just like a cohabitation of a spirit, that kind of thing? Have you run into those, or have you only heard these very graphic, negative kinds of tales?
I've heard both, for both ghosts and UFOs, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there's a lot of people that have friendly ghosts that I've talked to. One lady, she moved into a house. She kept feeling these eyes, a stare, someone staring at her. And she turned around, there'd be no one there. And she was playing the piano one day, and she felt these hands come and hug her, like around her waist. And there was no one there. She thought it was her child. And this happened several times. And she thought that there was a ghost in there, but she didn't want to tell anyone.
Yeah.
Found out that her daughter was also having the same experience. So
when they finally talked about it, yeah.
They never had any problem with it. But one day it did actually leave. They heard this weird, eerie howling noise through the house. and they felt the presence of the ghost, and then it left. They never felt it after that.
Wow.
That's strange. Yeah, I mean, that's actually, like, I mean, that's the first time I've ever heard about, well, I don't want to say, like, they're announcing their presence or they're announcing their departure, but that's the first time I've, I mean, as far as some, like, a noise like that where, okay, look, I'm leaving. Woo! See you later. Bye. And then, like, I guess they, I mean, they had to come to that conclusion. Maybe they heard that sound, and then for a few weeks, nothing happened. It was just, you know, just regular life around the house, I guess.
Right,
so,
that was her impression.
Yeah.
She had a lot of experiences with ghosts, too. Her family is mediumistic. So a lot of this stuff runs in families, I found out.
Mm-hmm. I've seen that, too.
Really, really, what I see, what, you know, like I said, I mean, dabbling in both ends of this, I really, I would theorize that really it would be up to the person, kind of, how much the filters in their brains are willing to let in now. We've discussed that from childhood on, when you're out of the, you know, when you're born.
Right, right. You know, I think if people are willing to just sit down and meditate, and if you don't, like, move for an hour and keep your eyes open, you'll start to see little lights starting around you, and if you meditate, you will see ghosts, too. Meditate long enough.
Do you think it's possible the girls that live together in the apartment, it, maybe like that entity or whatever it was seeing if they could break through her, like maybe to see if she can be reached, and then the UFO came down thinking it'd be like an easy target? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, like they were...
Like they were trying to see like if it was easy for her to be kind of like taken over, kind of.
Right,
so it'd be like
a scout.
Like a scout
for the UFOs.
Exactly,
yeah.
To see if like maybe it would be easy for them to get in and out with her or whatever. Kind of like...
Something going on there. Like, I sort of think that maybe a door was opened to a... Maybe the UFOs were attracted to all this paranormal activity and it had nothing to do with the UFO at all.
Oh.
Well, the theory is that of poltergeists, of noisy ghosts, is that it usually centers around... women of certain age, that kind of thing. Although that's only a general rule. I mean, it still happens to males and things like that of different ages. But
yeah.
But women of a certain age, and they all, a lot of the theories have to do with perhaps the experiencers, in this case the two women, were actually unbeknownst to them creating this activity with like latent psychokinetic powers and things like that. But it doesn't sound like they really wanted any of this stuff. I mean, they moved, what, two or three times
right.
To get away from it. I mean, they didn't want this to happen.
But that's a snowball effect, too, when you're talking about poltergeists also. It's one thing I've been reading up on a little bit. I've noticed that these cases with poltergeists, for example, we have the five stages that we've discussed on this show billions of times. And it seems that, you know, you start out, you know, it's something weird, things are falling around, things are opening up and closing, this and that. That's a bit annoying. And then that raises a certain level of intensity inside you, and then that gives it enough power to go to the second stage.
Right.
And then it gets you a little angrier.
So
then
almost
third stage, and then it snowballs until you're in the fifth stage where you got skulls jumping on the wall and all kinds
so
of.
So almost the more you don't want it to happen, the more energy you're feeding into it,
or the more you acknowledge it.
Yeah.
That's pretty
like
interesting.
They could probably, I know they probably hear you talking about it. Did you guys see that? Oh, they recognize me.
Yeah.
That's cool. So I can...
I'll tell you what. It's 8 o'clock. Let's go to break.
Let's take a break, yeah.
And then we'll be back. This is absolutely fascinating. We're talking about ghosts on Ghostly Talk for a change.
That.
I know.
Wow.
Amazing.
And UFOs.
And UFOs. So, yes, I have to thank Preston for that because we often talk about heaven only knows what.
Yeah.
But now we're talking about ghosts and UFOs. So let's take a quick break. We'll be right back with more from Preston Dennett.
We'll be right back.
Paranormal Talk Radio hosted by certified paranormal investigators Rob and Bob. Sunday nights at midnight, only on Pirate Radio. For show information, visit us at wparanormal.com.
MrOlaf.com. See what you've been missing out on.
Funny videos that will make you poop your pants laughing.
Services such as web and pop-free email, image editing, and logo design at very low rates.
Funny videos that will make you poop your pants laughing.
Free streaming and downloadable videos.
MrOlaf.com.
That's www.MROLAF.com.
Funny videos that will make you poop your pants laughing.
Hi, this is Lisa Butler, American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena. Our website is aaevp.com, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk.